I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
Month ago, like way too early, my across the hall neighbor in my apartment complex put up this terrifying like zombie thing on her door. And when I opened my door for the first time, because my door, when I open it, the first thing I see is her door. It was terrifying the first time I opened my door in the morning going to work. And it was way too early. It was like end of September. It's like, that's way too early for Halloween decorations on your door. But now I'm like desensitized to it, which is great.
Oh, that's the way to be, I guess.
Do you decorate your house, Logan, for Halloween?
Or I just finished a jack-o'-lantern 15 minutes ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speed jack-o'-lanterning?
It was speed jack-o'-lanterning, I guess. But yes, me and Simon made a... made one, and it was fun.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Did you do any decorating, Jerry?
Yeah, this was actually the first year that I decorated my apartment. So.
Really?
I supervise a graduate student who's like very passionate about Halloween, and so he and I for 101 went to we have a Michaels here in town, and we went and checked it out, and he got me kind of excited about things. And so I'm very creative in the regards that I don't want to do the same thing other people are doing. And so I went with this whole like alchemy kind of setup. And so I have like all these vials with food coloring and water, but it's actually kind of creepy. And so I like creep myself out. Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool spin on Halloween. I enjoy it, but I realize that packing all that and keeping it's going to be a little bit difficult.
That's my thing, is I keep accidentally acquiring like little things for each holiday, but I don't have a designated like holiday storage area. So it's really been challenging lately. Mm. I also made the mistake of buying garland that has like fake autumn leaves on it, which is really cute to use to decorate, but some of the leaves have glitter all over them, and so now everything has glitter all over it. And so that was a mistake that I shouldn't have done. It was not a good idea.
I get that.
Do you guys get trick-or-treaters? I don't get any, which is
really
sad.
We don't get any. We really don't.
Oh, that's a bummer.
We've gotten maybe 2 or 3 a year. Maybe.
Hmm.
So it's kind of
sad. Was your house just too scary, Logan?
No, it's well lit. I don't know. I really don't. So, oh well. I mean, it's what it is, right?
Another Halloween come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And how quick it goes.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes, I guess.
Womp womp. Then you just eat all the candy. I need to take a survey, and then I will, Jerry, let you introduce yourself because that's really important to the show. Thoughts on candy corn?
I in doses, candy corn in doses, I approve. Okay. I think after a while, your teeth start to hurt, and you know it's not good for you long term. But short term, small doses, candy corn, thumbs up.
Interesting. How do you feel about those little pumpkin candy things?
I do not like those whatsoever.
Those are disgusting. All right, well, I guess I don't want to kick you off the show for that answer, because like I want to get to know you, and like I think our listeners do too, but I think we probably just lost a lot of listeners for your like of candy corn.
Yeah, like I said, small doses.
Logan, what are your thoughts on candy corn?
Let's see here. They taste like wax with a waxy kind of aftertaste, that are kind of waxy.
Interesting.
That's generally my take on it.
That was a good description. Mm-hmm. I'm a hard no on candy corn. This has been an argument in my office for like 3 weeks. So I'm always interested now to see how people feel about candy corn.
Yeah, well, honestly, I've had that debate many times, and I used to be on the no side, and then someone challenged me. They said, try it and eat popcorn at the same time. And so like candy corn and popcorn, yeah, it's a game changer. You should definitely just give it one more try.
Did like all of your cavities then like pop out of your mouth? Like those are the two worst things for your teeth at the same time.
We'll bring it back small doses, small doses.
I mean, so can like, candy corn give you like cavities? Because it's just wax. Like it's not
Logan,
even
I think
sweet.
Did you eat a real candy corn, Logan, or did you eat a wax candy corn?
I don't know. They have no flavor. I mean, there's sort of a sweet taste to them, but they just, I don't get it. I don't get why they exist. I honestly think that every piece of candy corn that ever existed is still in existence.
That's probably true.
In one form or another. You know, they just recycle them every year.
That's probably true. Well, I mean, I'll put away my judgment and let you introduce yourself, Jerry, and we'll continue on with the show. Just know that I'm a little disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
It's okay. It's okay. I understand. I disappoint a lot.
I can't, unless, well, I mean, with your like of candy corn, I guess I can understand that.
Yeah. So I'm Jerry Cherry. I'm currently a coordinator for student leadership, Mountaineer Hall. We have a coordinator vacancy, so I have two other inherited areas currently as well, on top of that, App Heights and our Living Learning Center. So quite a bit of responsibility this semester. It's been a little stressful, but come January, I think I'll be wrapping up 2 years here at Appalachian State University.
Oh, App State. My nephew graduated from there.
Okay.
You're over by me.
I am. But you're at Chapel Hill, correct?
Yes. So fun fact about Chapel Hill, and then I want to get back to your job, Jerry. I got my hair cut today, and the girl drying my hair, she told me that she had just moved here recently in early September from up in Pennsylvania. And so we were chatting, and she asked me what I did, and I told her I worked at UNC. And she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, UNC, the college." And she said, "Oh, I've never heard of that." And I was stunned, to be quite honest. Just a fun fact.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing when you do all the university systems. Sometimes I could see from someone out of state, they can get very confused. There's like how many schools here with the UNC in front of it?
That is true. But I tell people all the time, like, I'm at the Tar Heel one, or I'm at the blue one. The Carolina blue one, because I learned very quickly that Carolina blue and blue are not the same color.
Yes. Then you get Duke involved, and we know how that goes.
Duke blue, not a thing. Yes, thank you. I've learned so much. So you work in a residence hall, yes? Am I interpreting your job correctly?
Yeah. So I live on, supervise some grads who run buildings, and then kind of my specialized role is student leadership, so advising RHA and NRHH on campus.
NRHH. I'm a member of NRHH.
Top 1%. Let's go.
Great team. Love it. Love NRHH. Sorry, Logan.
It's okay.
Join the club. So you had to inherit two other residence halls?
Yeah. We're down position right now. And so they asked if anyone wanted to step up, and kind of shoulder tapped me a little bit too. So I did. And been going on probably 2 to 3 months now of supervising kind of double the amount of students and residents that I'm used to. So it's been an interesting ride.
I was gonna say, how is that going for you?
Honestly, there have been times when I felt as though I was swimming, trying to stay above the water. And I'm usually an individual who's very I focus on quality more than quantity sometimes, and I was getting a little stressed out about it, feeling as though I wasn't given the work, you know, that it deserved. Mm-hmm. And one of our associate director, senior associate director here, she stopped me one day and she goes, "Just so you know, it's okay to do just the job and not do quality work." And it like took me so long. I was stressed out for, you know, several weeks. And then she stated that. And then I was like, "Oh, well, everything's okay." And I've kind of like chilled out a bit since then.
Mm-hmm. That's challenging though, because you don't want to just do... If you're so used to going above and beyond all the time, but like you want to put your best foot forward, but you physically cannot because there are way too many things to do. That is challenging.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And with that, so normally I would have about 500 residents kind of in my area, and that's pretty much doubled. And so care and concern and conduct and things like that have kind of escalated on my plate.
Yeah.
on top of my student leadership responsibilities. And so my 8-to-5 kind of life is packed. And then also I have that nightlife with the student leadership component of the job too. So work-life balance has been a little bit of a struggle as well. But yeah, like I said, it's, I mean, being a part of a team, sometimes you're asked to step up and, you know, this is the time that I think I'm one of the kind of veterans on staff at this point. We have three people who've been here for a couple of years now, and somebody has been here for multiple years past those couple 2 years too. And it's just time to step up.
Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations on making it through. I look forward to hearing about that, some of that work coming off of your plate pretty soon, so that you can get back to doing quality, cool NRHH things and other leadership things.
Yeah.
So what got you into like student life? You said, you mentioned before we started recording that you were communication in undergrad.
Yeah. So I went to Austin Peay in Clarksville, Tennessee. So close to you, Logan. Yeah.
Yep.
Went to Austin Peay for undergrad. Yeah. Let's go Peay. And so my degree was communications, focused in public relations. At the time, I was an RA as well in one of our communities. And we have a unique role there where you're an undergrad hall director too. And so I was promoted to that. And I did a lot of that. And I started to realize, like, man, I love students. I love working with them. I love the programming element of things. And that was back in the days of the traditional programming model. And I just loved it. And so I started looking into the future, and I realized, you know, communications, I did radio, I did an internship for a radio station, and it's difficult. I mean, at any point in time when you're live like that and you mess up and say something, you know, you could lose your job, you know. And I was not ready for that. I was not great, 100% okay with my communication at that point in time. I was doing well as an RA and undergrad hall director, and so I decided to kind of make this a career. And I guess that's kind of where I got now. The student element, the student leadership. I actually, my first full-time job was at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 2.5 years, and I was an entry-level residence director, and it was doing the kind of like running a building, advising a hall council, and doing a lot of those things. And I really fell in love with the student leadership, like the hall council. I had the ability to go to a student leadership conference. So my first conference, I believe, was Secure. It was in UNC Charlotte. And so I went to there, and I enjoyed it. The students kept asking me to return. And so now that's kind of focused my housing kind of career into more of a like the student leadership element component, the specialization, I guess, is a better way of saying that.
Yeah, I feel like your story is very similar to a lot of my good friends that I was an RA with. They like caught the bug and just kind of kept pursuing it, got master's degrees, and now they work in a lot of student affairs, a lot of residence life folks. But now I have lots of friends that work on campuses, and I'm like, I work on one too, but in a totally different way. So it's kind of neat to be able to stay connected with them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you were an RA.
I wasn't an RA. I was an RD.
Never mind.
But it was, I was a special kind of RD. So,
snowflake.
Well, I was a computer lab RD, so that means that I was an RD just with different responsibilities.
Just for computers?
Were
all your residents computers, Logan? Because that just means you're lab tech.
Well, I had a lab techs. I had I think there were 7 computer labs across campus. 1 24-hour and several in the dorms and some kiosks. And I just maintained the computers and, you know, staffed the labs and all that kind of fun stuff.
Interesting.
I was also over ResNet too, which was fun as well. So, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. I just worked with first year students as an RA. It was interesting. And so Jerry, you had mentioned this. You are working with undergraduate students and you oversee graduate students?
Yeah, so with my advising roles, I kind of advise undergrad students and then supervise undergrad students. And then in my current role, I supervise with kind of the extra responsibilities. I have 3 grad students currently, all residence directors in their particular areas.
How's that? Like watching them figure out what they want to do. About adulthood.
No, 2 of them are actually in second years. And so they're going to get ready to graduate towards the end of the year. And so I think it's very interesting because I'm used to supervising undergrads. I got here, you know, at App State, and, you know, this is kind of that next level jump in supervising, you know, grad students. And right. One is in higher ed. The other second year is in the SAW program. It just changed in student affairs administration. And they're both, you know, job searching. So a lot of our conversations, like, what are you doing now? How's that going to be relevant and what you're looking for? And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a different one-on-one. And then my other grad actually was hired. This is a new position we just had for this year. But we had a graduate assistant for student leadership, someone to help me out with that kind of specialized role. Mm-hmm. But with this vacancy, they actually asked that individual to step over and directly supervise the staff that in one of the communities we inherited. And oh, wow. So... yeah, the lucky thing is I still get to, you know, supervise that individual, and it gives me kind of in my community the way it's set up. A lot of times I get second year grad students, and I get a lot of those conversations about like, okay, well, let's how do we get you to this next job? But now having a first year, it's about, okay, well, how are you adapting to grad school, the program? How are you seeing that in the work? Right. And so it's nice to have that different perspective, you know, as I move forward here, you know, in this role.
That's going to be super interesting to kind of watch the students you're supervising. I mean, to have them graduate and then work alongside you too. Pretty cool.
Yep. Two of my grads or past grads that I supervised actually work at Chapel Hill in housing. So, yep. So they're there now. And so it's interesting to see them. So hopefully these next two that, you know, if you can get them jobs there too, that would be lovely as well.
with what I've learned very quickly about working at a large school like UNC is that I can't pull strings like I used to at smaller institutions. So I will try so hard for you, but I'm not going to guarantee I can do anything because it is kind of interesting, like now that I'm in a large state school compared to being at a small liberal arts college, like I don't really work alongside a lot of divisions anymore because it's so spread out. And I mean, higher ed is siloed, period, but the silos are kind of more reinforced just because there's more staff for each division on campus just to support the needs of that division because we have a larger student body. It's been very curious, but if it gives me an excuse to meet more friends, then I can certainly go over to housing and just introduce myself.
Yeah, I think housing, you know, is just an interesting place to be. I think you there's a lot of, you know, hands in a lot of different pots all across mm-hmm. campus kind of thing. And
yeah.
And so from the housing lens and perspective, usually you have like an acquaintance, at least with almost everyone on campus at some point time. And so that's honestly, that's part of the reason I love this, and especially the student leadership aspect of my role, you know, advising these students and their organizations. A lot of times they're collaborating with other organizations, which puts me in contact with their advisors. Mm-hmm. And so I've developed a lot of good relationships, and the organization, definitely RHA right now, and RHH is definitely getting to the place they need to be, but mm-hmm. RHA has done a good job of getting known on campus, and we're getting asked to do a lot more, you know, with groups like SGA and a lot of like our MSD, our Multicultural Student Development Office. We're doing a lot of collaborations with those individuals.
That's so great. NRHH was so, so challenging because it's an organization for leaders and therefore they are the most busy. But when you have all leaders, it gets so hard to, at least for our chapter, it was tough because we were all so involved across campus.
Yeah, definitely. And it being an honorary too, like if mm-hmm. you look at other honorary groups like ODK, even like back in high school, like Beta Club, mm-hmm. It's more of like an accolade. And then you do like one or two events a semester. Mm-hmm. And there's some like leadership opportunities. And so NRHH, I feel like, tries to stretch that sometimes. And so you have to find like a good balance on your campus. Like, what kind of students do you have in the organization? You know, what are they, you know, what's the threshold they have in regards to commitments? And so challenging them, but at the same time, recognizing that it is an honorary at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah, we always towed the line of like, are we an honorary as in like, just something you put on your resume because you've earned it, or are we an active chapter that we actually do things?
Yep. And it's that balance, and that mm-hmm. that can be difficult to find. I've been at four institutions now. I did Mississippi State for grad school, and I've seen NRHH, you know, at three different campuses now. And I've actually been in direct contact with the presidents. The president of NRHH at Georgia Tech was one of my RAs. The president of NRHH at Mississippi State was one of my RAs, and now I advise the president. And so I've always kind of, you know, it's been near and dear to my heart, but mm-hmm. I've seen it almost in three different capacities. I've seen it where like you said, it is an accolade. I've seen it where they try to do a little bit too much. And I think right now, directly advising, I think we're finding a good balance of the two of those things. Because it's just a happy balance, and you got to find out what suits your campus best.
Yeah. I'll actually ask you, since we keep talking about it, and higher ed is full of acronyms, and a lot of our listeners probably don't know what NRHH is. Do you want to give a little 2-second pitch about what NRHH is for listeners?
Yeah, definitely. That's great. It's the National Residence Hall Honorary, and it's just top 1% of students that live on campus. And two of their main responsibilities is recognition and service. And so you'll see the organization do a lot of service events around the campus, also with the community, and then also recognition. And so they have their own internal database where you can, they're called OTMs of the months, where you can write awards for people and nominate people across campus. And so that extends not only in residence life, but into faculty, also students on campus, organizations, events, programs. There's a lot of different categories that you can vote on or to nominate people. And then they vote on it at a national, regional level. And so sometimes you write something that wins at the campus, then it goes regional and then national. And so you're recognized across the United States. And it's a great kind of motivation boost moving forward. So they do a lot. There's a NCHR, they're kind of our large state or national organization, and they kind of host all of that and make those decisions. But NRHH, service and recognition, great organization, especially for students who are very passionate about those things.
Mm-hmm. And super passionate about their campus.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember those OTMs. I knew it was a thing. I was like, wait, what was that thing that we used to do all the time? And that's so funny.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're just, it's something small. You sit down, you write something for someone, and it makes them feel great. And, sometimes, one of my biggest pet peeves is people who say they don't have enough time. You always have time. If you're efficient with it, you can set aside time to sit down and recognize somebody, especially if they're doing good work. And so OTMs are just a great way of doing that. So shout out OTMs.
Yeah. I think should I feel like everyone in their professional life can implement the OTM strategy of just even once a month, pick one person and write. It doesn't have to be long. It can be half a paragraph and just recognize someone for something great that they did, because it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think, and this is, it's funny because, the people that know me and they hear this, they're going to be like, oh, Jerry's talking about this again. But honestly, I think in today's society, especially what we're doing, motivation is key to what we're doing. I think, 10 years ago, the amount of work that people did and the amount of work we do now, it just looks different. Emails are instantaneous. And so a great example was, you email me prior to this saying you good to go. Yeah, I'm good to go. But 10 years ago, that email, I would have had to dial up my computer. It would have did the weird ring thing. And there's just a lot of things. And now, we're asked to do a lot. But at the same time, if you're efficient with that time, you can sit down and you can recognize someone.
She'll start doing that. Yeah. I'm going to have to do that. That's my resolution. So I'm going to have to start doing that. I feel empowered after coming back from a conference. So I feel I want to do all the things. Now this is a new thing I want to do.
Yeah. If you start writing OTMs, and I'll stop eating candy corn.
I can write them. Can I? I think that's the thing too, right? Is anyone can write an OTM, or is it only members?
Yeah, no, anyone can write one. They have kind of a guest check-in, but they're via their website. It's anyone can do it.
Going now, writing it on my to-do list. OTM. What a flashback. So what other sort of recognition projects are your students doing on campus?
Yeah, so right now we are in a big service kick, actually. Recognition, OTMs are going strong. We just finished one of our conferences. We had our SACUR conference, which was at NC State last weekend, I think. It's been so quick. It wasn't last weekend or weekend before. I don't know. It's been a busy month. Yep, it's a busy month. And so we actually, our delegation, we brought, we get to bring a few students to those conferences and everything. And our delegation itself actually got recognized as second in spirit. And so that's a big thing for the students. And they come back and they want to change the world. And so right now, on top of doing, this other job, I have these students who are really motivated, which I looked at my supervisor. We had a meeting the other day, a one-on-one, and I looked at him and I said, I'm struggling. And he said, tell me more. I said, well, I've got these students really excited about everything, but now they want to plan 110 things, and I don't know if I can keep up with them.
Right.
So I'm like, it's
You want to say, like, that's great, but hold on. Like,
yeah,
chill. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Totally understand. Yeah, that's tough, to, especially when you're taking on, like, twice / triple the number of students to supervise. That's really challenging.
Yeah, and I feel bad because, like I said earlier, like work-life balance this semester has not been ideal. My favorite thing, though, is like if you ask someone, what is work-life balance? What's the definition of it? Everyone kind of give you something different. But one of my mentors here, our senior associate director, she tells us to think of it as like, it's almost like just redefining your priorities each day. So sometimes your family takes priority. Sometimes, you know, your job takes priority. And that's how, you know, work-life balance. And I feel like a lot of times the job has taken priority. And so, like, for instance, I'm a huge baseball fan. And this entire past week, the World Series was happening. And I got to maybe watch an hour of it. And, you know, in baseball, an hour of baseball is like half an inning. So
just really annoying and why I don't like baseball.
I love it. That's actually one of my favorite things too, is baseball. It's something I'm very excited about. And, you know, I love it. And it's funny because, you know, like you said, you don't like baseball. I swear every five people I talk to, maybe I find one. It's almost like finding the Holy Grail, finding someone who's interested in baseball, like truly interested, who can like sit down and have a good conversation. It's so difficult.
I can't do that. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. 2 out of 2 right here. I'd have to ask at least 6 more people before I get. Oh, no. Gosh, let's talk about this.
Well, listeners, I mean, tweet at Jerry if you like baseball.
Baseball's great and stuff. I mean, everybody has the sport they like.
Yeah. Right, I support you liking baseball, Jerry. I like you less because of your like of candy corn, but I don't like you less because of liking baseball.
Gotcha.
I'm just neutral, like candy corn. It just has, there's, you know. But baseball, yeah. I'm glad you've got something you like. Yeah. I mean, we all have to have something we love, right? We don't have to understand it, but we can love it. I like anime, and, you know, that's okay.
I wouldn't compare that to baseball, but I feel what you're trying to put down.
I'm just saying people like, there are baseball anime that are somewhat interesting, I guess. I don't enjoy those either, but it's okay.
You know, honestly, though, I think, you know, especially at my time at Georgia Tech, I felt as though I had 24 staff members there. And so each one of them, of course, loved something different. And, you know, I think one of the main jobs as a supervisor is like be invested in what, you know, individuals like, you know. And so I learned to like a lot of things. And so I actually like anime was something, you know, I watched like Dragon Ball Z back in the day. Yeah. But I never would say I was really into it. But I got the Georgia Tech and then they started introducing me to other things. And now I may or may not watch anime on occasion.
There's no shame in that.
Yep, I'm a huge gamer, so that's something I think what's cool about video games is this work-life balance thing is, you know, sometimes you can they're mindless in some occasions. Like some have great stories, but some, you know, you're just like, all right, I don't need to think about work. Let's play some games.
What's a game that you like?
Well, I just got the new Red Dead Redemption 2, so that's
I've heard that's great.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game, beautiful story. Little crude in some occasions, but it's got the whole good versus evil kind of mentality in the game. So you can make good actions, you can make bad actions, but you're pretty much set up for failure because you're an outlaw. Like that's the premise of the game. And so you're having to make good and bad decisions. I mean, most of the time you're probably going to make some bad decisions. So, but yeah, that's a game I'm playing right now. I love baseball on the PlayStation. Call of Duty, the new one just came out. I played that. I actually used to play for money back in kind of like high school, early college days. So some of these players, I actually was sponsored.
You're an e-sportser.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
You can play Call of Duty for money?
Yeah. Oh, you can play a lot of things for money. It's huge now. Esports is growing. It's huge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So many things.
There are plenty of games you can play competitive now. And I mean, there's teams, people get sponsored. I mean, to the extent where, you know, they have like these 6 people living in this house and all they do is play games all day. And they like buy them food and get them to the tournament and they win the money. They get a percentage of it for giving them a house it's extensive. Yeah. It's a big thing. And so just in high school, I mean, this was a while back. I mean, high school was almost 11 years ago. This is actually my 11 year reunion. We had our 10 year reunion last October.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, looking back on things, like I used to put a lot of time and energy into that. And you would go to these little tournaments, and Nashville was actually, I would go there on occasion, and you would sit up in some sketchy hotel with some people you barely knew. And that's how it was back then. And you would play for money. And I was like 17, my parents helping me out get there. Like it was awesome. It was a dream of a high
But
schooler.
isn't Call of Duty like a super, super long game? Like, how do you play that for money?
Oh, it's just like, I mean, like the multiplayer thing. So like you 5v5, like those different things.
I'm sure all of our listeners right now are like, Jackie, oh my God, just stop. Like, my mind is a little blown. Because I can conceptualize like Super Smash Brothers tournament because
Yeah,
there's
that's
like
it.
a winner and loser, but I am very confused.
Yeah, no, that's it. Like it's tournaments and you just do best of three games, things like that. There's different models and formats, tournament style. You just think like a ping pong tournament, but you have instead of two people per team, you have five dudes or, you know, a group of people just sitting in a corner playing against another group of five people.
And you are friends with all five people, or are you like randomly matched up? Because that would be crazy.
Yeah, well now I actually said so like my two grads that are at Chapel Hill, we play, and we don't play professionally anymore. I'm too old. My reflexes, like
Yeah, that's the
it's
thing
so
that
sad.
tends to go, yeah.
Yeah, you can actually
I
like
don't even
feel.
try anymore. I really don't.
See, yeah, you get it. Over time, you get on there and like you get beat, and you're like, this kid's like 13 years old talking crap to you. You just feel like garbage, and so you just get off for the night, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna play something single player, so I don't have to be subject to that, you
To
know.
be yelled at by a 13-year-old.
Yeah, I'm like, I get yelled by college students enough in like conduct meetings, and I don't need to need this in games either.
That's insane, but
Yeah,
really cool.
it's
It's a lot of fun.
yeah,
At
I feel
least it
like,
used to be.
yeah, I feel like Jackie is kind of like judging me to like the super
No,
extent right now.
I am no. I never ever judge gamers ever. I never judge anyone for a passion that they have unless it hurts people. And no, I'm not judging. I just had no idea about this space in the world. I was
Oh, yeah, esports is a thing now.
Yeah, I mean, there's yeah, like Twitch. You can watch
I know
people play video
Twitch.
games.
I
Yeah,
know Twitch.
it is so crazy. Like that would have been me back in the day. I mean, you on camera talking and playing video games and people watching you and donating money. Like that sounds like the life.
Yeah, that is actually a really good job. Like, why
I
are
mean,
we
you
encouraging students to go to college?
I think the according to esportsearnings.com, which has a lot of things, like has all the numbers and stuff for the big tournaments. I think the number one like winning person has won $4 million.
Oh my God. And it was Jerry? What? Jerry, why are you even working?
No, this was more like $100 wagers, and a lot of the
Yeah.
time you lose.
He's Japanese and he plays Dota 2, and his total earnings is 4.1 million. I mean, some of these tournaments have prizes that are like, you know, 250,000, 275,000, like to the winner. It's nuts.
Wow, that's incredible. Maybe I will like encourage my kids to play video games all day.
Don't go outside, game.
Yeah,
It'll be
nope. Tw at least 3 more hours playing Call of Duty. You can't go outside.
Yep.
No talking to your friends until you finish this level.
Mom, what time's bed? Yeah, well, usually it should be 10
Never.
p.m., but 2 a.m. 2 a.m.
Yeah.
sounds good. That
Here,
sounds
drink this Red Bull. You'll need it.
right. Yeah. I mean,
Oh,
just the winner
man.
of the Fortnite Fall Skirmish series during TwitchCon won $40,000.
I
That's
actually know what
nuts.
most of those words mean, just for the record.
Well, that's about all the time we have for the show this week.
Oh no. I'm so
Yeah.
sad. I was just learning so many things.
I
I
know,
think we,
right?
Logan, I think we need to rename this podcast to like Jackie Learn Stuff.
Jackie learned stuff. Well, you
Because
did
I
learn
learned
stuff.
things. I learned so many things this week. I normally learn something.
Well, thanks, Jerry, for joining us this week.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
Thank
you for
you.
having me.
And listeners, head down to higher-ed.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today, and subscribe to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a tweet. We love talking to you, and let us know if you want to be on the show. Higher Ed Social is produced by the amazing Emma Haas and is part of the Connect EDU network, the first podcast network for higher education. Visit our website, connectedu.network, and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you work on campus. Thanks, and have a great week.